Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. This day has been a day that the Lord has made, and He is a God that is worthy to be praised. I tell you, this has been a week of challenges, and I hope it has not been too challenging for you, but it has for me. But you know, challenges are good. Challenges are hard, but it's worth it. They teach us to grow and go and depend and put our hope and faith in God. So thank you again for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. As we start a new lesson, a new series called Why Live As If There's No Hope? Why live as if there's no hope? And I have asked my sister in Christ, Minister Lakeisha Richmond, to guide us in her new teaching series, Why Live As If There's No Hope? So let's think about this. Why live in a time as if there is no hope? That's the question. Why live in a time as if there's no hope? We should ask ourselves if it is worth worrying about things that are beyond our control. God is in control of every situation that we experience in life. And He is the one, and I say one meaning capital O-N-E. He is the one who we place our trust and faith in. Now, Minister Lakeisha Richmond, she is a sister who loves the Lord deeply. She loves the Word of God, and she loves to minister the Word of God. And she will expose the lesson today. She will expound on it. Each point concerning why live as if there's no hope, and she will extend the gospel in a way that will build you up in faith and hope. Now remember this. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and I'm going to stop right there. So Minister Lakeisha Richmond, if you would introduce yourself again, it's such a blessing to have you on the broadcast, again, teaching another series concerning God's Word with Why Live As If There's No Hope. This is a beautiful title, and especially with the times that we're living in today and how the circumstances of life or even the changes in the world make us or bring us to a mindset as if, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? What is there in this world that can change things as the way that they are? So I'm excited to have you on the broadcast again. I'm just ready, like a little child waiting for a piece of candy to open up out of the wrapper. But I'm so ready for you to just pounce right into this lesson. But you give us a little thumbnail sketch of yourself, just in case for those who may not have heard your other broadcast, your other teaching series, but just tell us a little bit about yourself before we get ready to start this beautiful series.
Thank you, Sister Smith. Thank you for the opportunity to come again to Mission from the Heart. My name is Lakeisha Richmond. I'm a mother of two children, ages 23 and 22. Most importantly, I love God with all my heart. And that's really all I have to say. I love to be in the Word, and I love for the Word to get in me, and I love learning more about God. So I would like to, if you don't mind, go ahead and start with a few scriptures and a prayer, and I'll be... If you need time to get your Bible and your pencil and your pen, if you want to take notes, I'll give you a moment. Our first scripture would be Psalms 37 and 34. Amen. Amen. Psalms 37 and 34, it reads, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love." The next scripture would be Psalms 33 and 18. Psalms 33 and 18. "But the Lord watches over all who honor him and trust his kindness." And the third and final scripture I would like to open up with would be Hebrews 11 and 1. That's Hebrews 11 and 1. And it reads as follows. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. One more time. Now faith, my today faith, this right now faith, is being sure of what I hope for, and I am certain of what I do not see. That's faith. Amen. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, "Hallelujah, thank you, Father, for saving me and giving me hope through Jesus Christ." Today, brothers and sisters, I offer you the same hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I speak to your heart, your mind, and your soul. Right now, prepare your heart as an altar to sacrifice. You want to lay down your every emotion, every negative thought. You want to throw them away, cast them off, and rid ourselves of our anger, our wayward acts. We just want to throw off all unrighteousness, which is sin. And we will replace all those things that's not like our Heavenly Father with the words of hope. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. First, I would like to break down the word and make it very simple, and that's the word hope, so we have a clear understanding what hope really is. I looked in the Nelson's Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible, and it defines hope as confident expectancy. Confident expectancy. So what is confident? To be confident is to be certain, to be full of conviction, to have trust, have faith. And remember, we read the definition of faith, about faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain or what we do not see. So that's what confidence is, a state, belief that one will act in an effective way. Now, also, hope is confident expectancy. What is expectancy? Expectancy is I'm looking for it. It's coming. I'm anticipating it. It's due. I want to bank on it. I'm counting on it. I'm depending on it. I can envision it. I can foresee it. It's in my view. Amen? That's what hope is. So today, my brothers and sisters, I want you to hope in the Lord. You may be asking, how do I hope in the Lord? How do I hope in the Lord? So we have 3 points that we want to bring forth to you in this series. And the first point would be believing in the words of hope. Believing in the words of hope. What is believing? Believing is having a firm conviction about something. You accept it as true. Is trust. So to me, believing is the same as faith. Faith is stronger than believing, but you have that firm conviction. You have that trust. Amen? Let's go to St. Luke 20, chapter 24. We're going to go to St. Luke chapter 24. And we're still talking about believing in the words of hope. In the words of hope. Believing in the words of hope. St. Luke chapter 24. And this story is showing what believing in the words of hope is. It's going to demonstrate what faith really is. Amen. Verse 1. "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. So they're talking about Jesus right here, that he has been crucified and he has been raised from the dead. Verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Verse 12, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now, at this time, the women have already gone to the tomb, and they seen that Jesus was not there. He had already told them, the apostles, that he was going to be crucified, and he was going to be buried, and he was going to come back on the third day. He was going to be risen and come back on the third day. And the women had gone to the tomb, and they did not find him there, and all they saw was the linen. So now we're going to go down to verse 13. Sister Smith, if you'll read starting at verse 13 for me, please.
Sure. Now the same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to the sentence to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all these took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They were in the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in the same, he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Now, I was, while you were reading, I was just observing in verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walked along?" And it was Jesus coming up to the two men. And they were walking along with no hope. It says their faces was downcast. And it was something about Jesus that picked their spirits up before they even realized who he was. Have you ever had someone in your life, I mean, you've been down, and just the presence of that friend that comes along and give you those encouraging words, just come in and pick your spirits up. Well, this is what Jesus did for these two men that were walking down in the village of Emmaus. And although they invited him to go with him, he was going to continue on. They invited him to come with him, and this is even before they recognized who he was. And so the point is, you can be in the presence of an angel and not even recognize it. Your spirit will agree with that spirit of that angel before you can even recognize it sometimes. Amen. In verse 31, it says, "Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." But we're still talking about believing. So at that point, they believed who this was Jesus. He was resurrected. So they had to go and tell somebody, and they went and they found the 11. So this was the second time that the 11 were told, and the others were told that Jesus has risen. And so let's see what's gonna happen, okay? Verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." So he's trying to speak to their faith right here. Believe, this is me. Touch me. Touch me. Here I am. Verse 40. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Now, a ghost cannot do that. Amen? Verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. That Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So it sounds like they had hope for tomorrow after that. Their faith was increased because they saw this was Jesus. He has risen from the dead. Amen. Is there anything that you observed, Sister Smith, in this passage?
Yes. Just as you brought to light, you know, they did, and that does show hope when for tomorrow when they went away with joy. But
right.
it's so true, Sister LaKeisha, that when we get downcasted or down in spirit, downtrodden or heavy weighted, that we do have these tendencies to lose the very faith or the substance that we need to retain or maintain or hold on to that hope that we're promised. We're promised.
Yeah.
And it's amazing as we read this passage and how Jesus had to continuously show them or reveal to them, ghosts don't have flesh. And then
right.
When he walked with the two on the road to Emmaus, he had to confirm to them that I'm eating with you, I'm breaking bread with you, I'm sitting
yes.
with you,
yes.
I'm communing with you. So
yes.
for them, and then he said, did you forget? Did you forget with what was said to you from the time of scriptures or Moses and the prophets? And
yes.
we as brothers and sisters in Christ have tendencies to forget what God has done for us in the past.
Right.
And we see what's happening before us, but we have to not forget what God has done for us in our past.
Right.
And then he does, you're right, he does send angels along the way to build us back up in spirit, to increase our faith, that
yes.
that our hope will not be lost.
Right.
And go right ahead.
I was going to say just 3 months ago, I was downcast. And not that as a Christian you don't sometimes lose hope, but I was in an apartment and it is so small. I couldn't do anything in there. It was me and my son and I living in an apartment, and I couldn't work on my art, which was my livelihood. I just lost all kind of hope. I didn't want to go to church. I had to work hard. I mean, work hard to pray because I just felt so closed in. And I said, I know God hasn't left me. So I began to not just believe that God was going to put us in a better place. I had to start acting on it. I started not only speaking and praying, but I started boxing up stuff and putting it in boxes. Oh, we're going to move. And at the same time, I'm praying. I'm speaking God's word. You know, what you have for me is for me. But I'm speaking His word. I'm thinking on these things that are good, that are lovely. I'm thinking what's true, what's noble. I'm thinking. I'm speaking His word, and And we moved out the place. I put in a 30-day notice. Didn't know where we were going. Put in a 30-day notice. And just so happened, talked to my cousin, and my cousin had a house where we can move into. But I had to put words of hope. I had to get in God's word. I had to speak his word back to him. And I had to continue to pray. I could not stop praying. He came through for me. But I had to be certain in what I was praying. I had to have faith in that hope that, yes, he's going to come through for me. But we do serve a God of hope. But I had to believe God's word of hope because I knew he was watching over me. Because he says that he watches over all who honors him and trust him, which means has confidence in his kindness. So I'm going to slow down a little bit. I want to read you a poem about a God of hope. It says, I just wanted to say thank you for this life you've given me, for all the wondrous blessings, for setting my spirit free. You are such an awesome God who only gives the best, giving us a life of hope when we face all kinds of tests. For often we face in life struggles of every kind. Little things can get us down, and peace is far from our minds. But you give hope to carry on, no matter what we face. When we feel like giving up, unable to finish the race, you step in just in time with angels heaven sent to encourage us to carry on and to give us extra strength. So I praise you, Lord, for whom you are and for all that I can be, but I never have a better life apart from your life in me. And that's by M.S. Loudis. And that's where I was. I was searching for this God of hope in a desperate place. And I don't know where you may be today. You may be sick. You may have an illness. You may have a disease. You may just feel down. You may just be depressed. But you have to have some faith and hope. Your believing is faith. It's the same as faith. And if you trust and you believe in God's words of hope, amen, that he's confident. You have to have that confident expectancy. You have to expect what you need from him. And you continue to believe in his word. You have to be like it was the woman that had an issue of blood, and she you can find that in St. Luke 8 and 43 through 48. Let's look at that. St. Luke, the 8th chapter. She was a persistent woman. She didn't give up. She was very persistent. Amen. St. Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 43 through 48. Amen. So no matter where you are, there still is hope. Amen. There still is hope. There's a God of hope just waiting on you. Waiting on you to put some legs on your faith and your belief. Amen. Let's see, St. Luke 8, 43 through 48. And it reads, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Amen. So this woman has suffered for 12 long years, but she still had hope. If I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch him. But it was by her faith. She had faith when she touched his cloth that something was going to happen. So today, when you pray, when you speak into just having a conversation with your Father in heaven, you have to have faith that faith is what's going to heal you, is what's going to lift you up, is what's going to make that change in your life. Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. Sister Smith, do you have anything to add to that?
I do, because the woman with the issue of blood, that is a beautiful passage that demonstrates the hope that she had if she could just press through the crowd, regardless of what people said about her on the way up to her pressing in. And that is encouraging for me, and I pray that it's encouraging to those who are listening to the broadcast, that when we feel or when we see ourselves in a situation boxed in a circumstance, and that was your story about where you were living at one point in time and how you felt so closed in, and it wasn't conducive for your spirit. I mean, it just wasn't a good fit for you. That is the same with this woman with the issue of blood. I'm not supposed to be this way. It's not supposed to be this way. I can just imagine in her thoughts. I have got to press in past the crowds, past the naysayers, past what people are saying about me and what they believe about me. I have got to press in to him. My hope is that I be healed according to her. I'm just imagining her thoughts as she pressed in, regardless of the situation, her situation. And then she pressed in. She put movement to her hope and faith. And the movement was the pressing in to him. Yes. And at all costs, she did that. And that is just a beautiful expression of her hope and how she put legs to H-O-P-E, and she pressed in. And from the movement of her hope and her faith, they work hand in hand. And so she pressed into Jesus, and oh, my word, she was healed. And Jesus told her to go in peace. Now, you talk about a beautiful peace in her mind. Not only was her body healed, but my goodness, just going in peace. The load has been lifted. The weight has been lifted. And the peace of God that surpassed her human understanding. Now, that's her.
She never gave up hope. She never gave up hope. She never lost her faith. But it says for 12 long years. That's some time. And she never gave up. She continued to have that hope. If I can just get to Jesus, she had that faith. If I can just get to him. And the faith, whatever we're going through today, and I still, everything's not all well all the time, but I know that if I pray and I have hope in God, I know that my faith is what's going to touch him. It's going to get his attention, and he's going to come down, and he's going to hear me, and he's going to come right where I am, and he's going to answer my prayers. Amen. But she didn't give up. So no matter who you are, you can't give up. No matter what it looks like, no matter, just keep on pressing. Just keep on pressing through the crowd. Keep on pressing through the naysayers. Keep on pressing through the doubt. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter if it's your third world country, it doesn't matter where you are, you still have to have that hope in God, that hope, that confident expectancy. And as long as you're expecting it to come, if you're certain, it's coming, it's on its way. Amen? Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to cut you off, Sister Smith. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That was exactly the point, is that we be built up in the word of hope, in the word of God. That is the very the substance we need as the body of Christ. Because again, the enemy attacks our mind, and I can just imagine this particular woman. And just think about the passage that we were reading in the 24th chapter of Luke. As they were on their way to the tomb, the women, and when they saw him gone, Could you just imagine their thoughts were, and I'm thinking outside of the box, what happened? Where is he? So their hope that went from walking through the cities of Galilee, Jerusalem, and healing the sick and making the dumb speak and the blind see and he did all of these things.
Yes.
And they saw this. But when they saw him on the cross and the body came down from the cross, and then they took him to the grave and placed him in with a stone placed in front. And then when they could not see on the third day when they went to the tomb, they did not see the physical body anymore. It was gone.
Yes.
The hope diminished.
Yes. Yes.
They were downcast in their physical appearance, head down.
Yes.
In thought, they probably wondered, what are we going to do now?
Right.
And we can be in situations, Sister Lakeisha, where we are in circumstances where we just don't know how this is going to be resolved, how it's going to be rectified. I look at my son who was in a situation, and and the court system was involved. And I tell you, I know exactly how she felt, or these women who went to the tomb felt.
Yes.
How am I going to handle this situation? I don't know what to do now.
Right.
But the faith of them dwindled down almost to little to nothing, I can just imagine. And of course, we've been in situations like this.
Right.
And some of you may not, some of those who are listening to the broadcast, if you have not been in a circumstance or a situation, just continue to keep living.
Right.
Because there is a day where we can be in the valley, and the valley can be so low that the mountain high can be so far up there to where in your mind you can't think you can even reach it. But God.
But God, you have to remember that there's nothing too hard for him.
He came to the woman with the issue of blood. He came to the women who were going to the tomb on early that third day morning.
Yes.
And he even came to the brothers that were walking on the road to Emmaus.
Right.
They had the same posture as the two women, or as the women who went to the grave, downcast.
Right.
And that's what we experience at times when we're in the valley. Downcast.
Yes. Feel trapped. Nowhere to go.
Yes. So, yes, this is a very good passage that shows us how we can look in times of discouragement, in times of uncertainty. But God's word says, according to scripture, that we are not to lose hope.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. I have another scripture, and that's Romans 15 and 13, if we can go there. Romans 15 and 13. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're still talking about believing. And I have one more scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. And this is still talking about believing. Believing. You have to be certain. You have to have some confident expectancy. Jeremiah 29:11. If you get there, but let me know if you get there before me. It's 11 through 14a.
Amen. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to purpose you and not to harm you, plans
yes.
to give you hope and a future.
Yes.
Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you.
Yes.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found
yes.
by you.
Amen.
Amen. Declares the Lord, and will bring you back.
Yes.
From captivity.
Captivity. Yes.
I will gather you from all of the nations and places where I have banished ye, declares the Lord, and will bring
yes.
you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Yes. So that's faith. The Lord
Amen.
Said he has plans. He has plans for us. So not to harm us, but to prosper us and to give us hope and a future. Amen. So that's some faith right there. So we know that he has plans for us no matter where we are today. But we have to have that, be full of conviction that he has given us hope and he's given us a future. Amen.
Amen.
And then I have... you had something to say, Sister Smith?
I do, because think of this passage in verse 13.
Okay.
Or in verse 12. I love
okay.
the way that the Lord encourages us. He says,
yes.
"For I know the plan I have for you." So he knew us before we were even fashioned in the womb of our mother. And he's
right.
letting us know, I know the plans I have for each and every one of us.
Yes.
And then in verse 12, it says in the NIV translation, using the word, then you will call
yes.
upon me.
Yes.
So he's telling us, this is what we will do.
Yes.
You will. Then you will call upon me. Uh-huh. And then even in the next verse, he says, you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen in that 12th verse.
Yes.
And then
yes.
it says in the 13th verse, this is what we'll do. This is what
yes.
we'll do. You will seek me
yes.
and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, not half-hearted,
yes.
not
yes.
one-third or one half or two fourths or no, 100. 100%
yes,
of your
100%. Yes.
And then he says, when you seek me with your whole heart, in verse 14, he said, I will be found by you.
Yes.
Declares
Amen.
The Lord. And then he says, he's not done with us. Once
right.
we do this for him, then he says, this in the same verse 14, and will bring you back from captivity. Now
yes.
our thoughts and our imaginations and our worries and our stressors will keep us locked up, hemmed up, and in captivity.
Right.
To where we're not even good for ourselves. But when we start believing that He is our hope,
yes.
He has a future for us. And I love the way that Jeremiah penned it here, according to what the Lord declares. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place which I carry you into exile. So that tells me that He allowed them to be held in captive. He allows some of these struggles and situations in our lives to take place. Yes, He does allow them.
Right.
And that's so that growth will take place in faith.
Yes.
Because faith is motion. So if faith is the very substance, as you read, of things hoped for, then we do need to be in some situations from time to time so that we won't lose faith in the very one that carries us, that
yes.
brings us back to Him, that He will listen to us.
Yes.
And I hope You saw these beautiful nuggets, brothers and sisters, as Sister Lakeisha and I just break open and expound on the Word of God, that the richness of His Word builds us up, that we can continue to believe on every promise in the Word of God.
Amen.
So I just really wanted to unpack those particular verses on how it encouraged me to know with confidence and expectation.
Yes.
Plans to give us a hope and a future. This is God.
Yes.
And so that really, really impacted my heart as we read through these verses.
Amen. So words of hope is available to each and every one of you today. Amen. All you have to do is just hope in God. Hope in God. That means you got to trust in Him for everything. Have confidence in Him for everything. Believe in Him for everything. And depend on Him for everything. Whatever you may lack or need, anticipate it. Watch for it. Foresee it. You got to look for it. Be certain of it and continue to think, speak, believe, and live daily words of hope. Now, I wanted to read this scripture. It's Philippians 4 and 8, and it plays a role in our everyday thoughts. Because what we're thinking is what we do. If we think on good things will happen. Amen. It says in Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And if you think about, you'll begin to believe it. Your faith will be strengthened. Amen? I want to read to you, My Hope is Set. And it's by Deborah Ann Belka. I do not put my faith in what man can offer me. My hope is only set in things I cannot yet see. I do not put my trust in worldly lust or bling. My hope is only set in what Jesus is going to bring. I do not put my faith in the government. My hope is only set in God's empowerment. I do not put my trust in fleshly desires. My hope is only set in doing what God requires. I do not put my faith in myself or mankind. My hope is only set in God's purpose by design. Amen. And Psalms 118, 8 through 9 reads, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." That's the King James Version. Now, one thing about faith, everybody is given a measure of faith. Your faith may not be like my faith, but everyone has faith. And how we grow that faith is by expecting. Today I'm going to expect more of my prayer than I did on yesterday. I'm going to have more faith in my prayer today than I did on yesterday. I'm going to look for what I prayed for today with more expectancy than I did yesterday. Now, what if I'm praying for a job? This is an example. I'm praying for a job, and today I'm going to get up. Well, in the morning, I'm going to get up all refreshed. About 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get the paper. I would have had the paper the night before and looked and circled some prospective jobs. So the next morning, I would have a place to go. Just put in my faith to work, to go and put in those applications and those jobs. I want to be the first one there, and show some persistence. Amen. Sister Smith, do you have anything to add?
Yes. Now, when our faith, if we don't have the amount of faith that we need, and I like to put it or look at it like this: without faith, you have no hope.
Right.
Without faith, think of it like this: without faith, I have no hope. So if I lose faith, even little bitty faith, as Scripture says, even the size of a mustard seed, which is very tiny, but if
yes.
I lose that little bit of amount of faith that I have, then where's my hope? The title of this teaching series is Why Live As If There's No Hope. So what does that tell me? It tells me that if faith is the very substance that I need in order to have hope, then I need not to ever lose faith in the very one that woke me up this morning. Faith in Christ mm-hmm. Jesus. Faith in the Word of God on every promise and precept in the Scripture. And if we were to look at John 1:1. So if you could
yes.
walk with us to John 1:1. And it reads this way.
In the beginning was the Word. Oh, go ahead.
No, you read it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Continue on.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Verse 2.
He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him
mm-hmm.
was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines
mm-hmm.
in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. You want me to keep going?
And we're going to stop right there.
Okay.
So let's think about these verses. Now, keep in mind, we are believing in the hope, believing
yes.
in the words of hope, the words of hope. Now, understand, in verses 6.
Yes.
It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. and the Word was God. Now, in my NIV translation, the word "Word" is capitalized. Why
yes.
is that? Because we understand, and we should understand, for those who may not know Him in the pardoning of their sin, of your sin, then you may not understand how to understand that this particular word in the Bible happens to be capitalized. And that's for
yes.
you to zoom in on who the Word is, and that is Jesus Christ. So we can read it this way, if you will. In the beginning was Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus was with God.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus was God.
Yes.
But let's just read it in the way it's written. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was
mm-hmm.
with God in the beginning of time. In the beginning. In the beginning when God created. Through Him all things were made. Through Him. Jesus we're talking about. Without
yes.
Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. So
yes.
now, if I'm going to maintain my little bit of faith, build up my faith, and hold on to my faith, exercise my faith through the Word of God, who happens to be Jesus Christ, then that means my hope is built on nothing less.
Yes.
Then Jesus Christ, we know the hymn.
Mm-hmm.
It reads this way. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ.
Yes.
The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And that's just the first stanza in this particular hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, by Edward
yes.
Mott, M-O-T-E. Now, when he penned this hymn, and there's four stanzas in this hymn, but just the first stanza speaks volume to us. We are to put our hope and build it on who? Jesus Christ, His blood and righteousness. His
yes.
blood redeemed us, and our faith is grown and built and strengthened on Him and Him alone.
Yes.
So now the substance of my hope becomes greater, bigger, confident expectancy of the very things we hope in, because we place it in Jesus Christ. On Him our hope is built, not anything else. Sister Lakeisha, you read those beautiful poems and how they said that they're not going to hope or believe in the ways of the world, a president, a boss,
yeah.
A movie star, a football star. We don't put our hope in individuals
right.
on earth. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness, what He did on that cross for you
right.
and I.
Yes.
That's where we place our faith. And I think this is a beautiful place right now, sister, to speak a prayer of salvation for those who may not know who we're talking about and how they can come into the presence of Jesus Christ by believing. So
yes.
if you would pray a prayer of salvation for those who
okay.
may be listening to this broadcast, because it would not be right of us to speak about a man
Amen.
That they may not know intimately. So if you could do that.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. This is the time for our confession, amen. And if you're an unbeliever or if you don't know Jesus Christ in a pardon of your sin, he can meet you right where you are and he'll save you. If you can just pray this prayer with me or repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to purchase a place in heaven for me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Forgive my sins and save me. I repent of my sins and now place my trust in you for my salvation. And I accept the free gift of eternal life. Amen. And if this is your sincere prayer and the desire of your heart, Jesus promises you that most assuredly I say to you, who believe in me shall have everlasting life. And you can find that in St. John 6 and 17. Amen.
Amen. So we encourage you who have prayed that prayer, and again, it's the words that you're saying, but it's in your heart that you are believing. And that's where it starts, is in your heart. Believing in the hope. Believing in the words of hope. And hope is Christ Jesus. So it starts there. And you have done a wonderful thing by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this day. Now we encourage you to get into a Bible-believing church, a church that rightly divides the Word of God, that you would be baptized with submersion of water. And when you get up, you would tell somebody that I am a Christ follower, that you would get into a small group or a Sunday school class or a discipleship class, that you would be discipled concerning the Word of God, that you would grow and go in faith and in his amazing grace. So welcome to the family of faith and to the body of Christ, and that you will continue to listen to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio, that you would grow in your faith, that your hope will be sure-footed, unmovable, unshakable, expectancy and confidence because of your faith in the very Word of God, who happens to be Jesus Christ himself, that you would shine beautifully in a place, in a dark world, and you can be an influence to somebody else to come into the very salvation ark of Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. And as you've accepted Jesus, I tell you, the angels are rejoicing in heaven for one who has given their life to Christ intimately, wholeheartedly, and humbly, as you know how. Amen. So I tell you, Minister Lakeisha, this has been a beautiful start to this teaching series, Why Live As If There's No Hope? And your first point, believing is the first step, as those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, believing by faith, we are saved by his amazing grace. Amen?
Amen.
So we just continue to unpack this lesson. Minister Lakeisha will continue to do this on this three-part series as we look at our first point, believing in the words of hope. And I thank you. So as we wrap up, is there any last point for this particular point that you wanted to make, Minister Lakeisha?
Well, the last point, well, I wanted to read, I don't know if we had time, the psalm of where David was putting his trust in God? Or are we going to save it for the next time? It was Psalms 25.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Psalms 25. It says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, and you I trust. O my God, do not let me put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame, who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my many enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, for all their troubles."
Amen. And that is a beautiful passage of Psalms 25, and how it even, well, we know that these are prayers as well, but it even expresses to God, David did, and to God, to just purge him and protect him and purify him, you know, was his cry out to God in this passage, in this psalm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was spot on. So this brings us to the end of this broadcast, and I hate to let it go, but I know time has passed, and so we have the blessing of God to know that we can meet together and break bread together again on why live as there is, as if there's no hope. Why? Why live as if there's no hope? And we will look at point two on our next broadcast in this particular series. So always remember that the grass withers and the grass, oh yes, it all fades away, but the word of God, the very word of God, will remain forever and ever. God bless and thank you.